get go to in the minute, in just a few minutes. Well, you know, I didn't used to have the concept that there's, I mean, if you know that God is sovereign, that God's able to do anything, you know, but will he do it for you? See, there's where the battle comes in right there, you know. Yes, he's almighty God. Yes, he's able. I mean, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wisdom. Hallelujah. But, you know, it's kind of like the Lord spoke to me one time, and he says, you know, it's easy for you to believe that I'll heal somebody else, but it's hard for you to receive it the way you believe for others. Does that make any sense to you? So we got to come to the place to where, you know, we're quick to say, yeah, God will touch you, he'll move in your marriage, and all. And then something happens to us, and we're like, you know, we got to have the same stance that we have, you know, because I believe that if somebody needs a kidney tonight, you can have one. Creative miracle. Boom. Praise God. Heart healed. I believe it. Praise God. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Not anything. Not any situation that me and you will ever experience. Jesus already went through experienced victory in everything that a human can face on this planet, and did it as a man. Jesus, what didn't operate as God, he operated as a man, empowered by the Lord to make it to where we can, hallelujah, you know, we can operate by the Spirit of God, yielding to the Spirit of God, just like Sandy, you know. I mean, a one-time fix of a little bit of finances, upside of a lifetime of anointing. There's a difference, praise God. You can have a little bit, but you can overall be blessed to the Lord, yielding to the Lord. The key is to let him be involved, you know. It's up to me and you to let God be involved in our life. And we will come to places. Red Sea experiences, maybe not a Red Sea, but I'm talking about things that are really, really challenging in our life, you know, whether it be financially, you know, and just like Sandy was talking about, I mean, the Lord spoke to me, and you need to confess over your life all the time what this Bible says. Some people think that's a little fanatical, but, you know, we're to be like God, right? We're to be imitators of God as dear children, the Bible says. Well, God, you know, when he wanted light in a dark world, he spoke to it. And God calls those things that be not as though they were or are, you know. In Romans, the Apostle Paul recorded Abraham, you know. Abraham staggered not concerning the promises of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, counting that God was able. You know, not that he could do it. He's able. He's able to do what he's saying, praise God. And you know what, praise God, the Bible is full of the promises of God. But it's up to me. And I mean, we need to be confessing over ourselves. God spoke to me years ago, and he said, confess over your life, you know, big jobs, less work, more money. God spoke that to me. Now, some people think it's crazy, but you know what? I jumped on that. I thought, that sounds good, man, to me. Less work, more money, you know. And praise God, so I started confessing that over my business, you know. And nothing's too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. See, God wanted it done, but God needed me to voice it. God needs some things done in our life, but we're the ones that needs to be voicing what God wants. And simply we're releasing the Word of God. Because when God speaks to you, just like maybe he says you're more than a conqueror and it's just living on the inside of you, you don't need to go around. I mean, even if you're defeated, even if you're being defeated, you need to go around saying, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Why? Because you're getting in line and agreeing with what God says, his word says. And so that releases the anointing. That releases the angels of God. You know, we can't see angels, but angels came to church with you. They rode in the car with you. They go to work with you. The Bible says the angels are encamped around about those that reverence the Lord. Well, when we're respecting God, they're encamped around about us. The angels of God, they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to work for us, work and minister to us, you know. And so we've got to be, you know, in line with the Bible in our thinking, praise God. We need to be saying, I need to be saying, my son, if just say Travis, you know, he may not be what all he is, but I'm just making an example. I don't need to go around saying, well, Travis, you know, he's just blah, blah, we didn't raise him that way, and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's not a good thing to be saying, although that's what it looks like. I ought to be saying, God, he'll be what you want him to be. He'll become the man, the grandkids, whatever the case might be. What is that doing? That's calling those things that be not as though they were, as though they are, and it's in line with the word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18, verse 9. Zach, put that up there for us. They said to him, talking about Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Go ahead. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. This is God talking to Abraham and Sarah now here, and they're done well stricken in years at this place in the Bible. It says, Sarah thy wife shall have a son, and Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Go ahead, Zach. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age. Now he's telling them, going up here, and he's telling Abraham, at old age, you know, Sarah's going to have a son. Now she hears in the tent, let's read on, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That's past having kids. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And she's talking about Abraham. My Lord, she's talking about Abraham. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which am old? Go ahead. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He asked Abraham, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the Lord said to ask you tonight, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, there's not. Not our finances, not our relationships, not the economy. You know, just like this right here, I started confessing that. And today, I mean, I have a hard time taking the residential stuff. I do it. I mean, I take it all. Because, I mean, I'm 5 and 6 weeks out right now. First time it's ever happened. I'm 5 and 6 weeks out in work right now. And I'm talking about big jobs, less work, and way more money, commercial stuff. I mean, this thing is just pouring in, you know, just coming. Had a guy call me right before church, you know. He got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 doors. I just went and priced a job up the day before yesterday. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 big doors in it. I give the dude a price, smack. This guy said, call me tomorrow, I need to go ahead and order these and put this thing to bed. You know what I'm thinking? This thing is overtaking me, hallelujah. And you know, you might be struggling tonight. And I'm rejoicing at the struggle, because just like I preached last Sunday night, you know, about helping the baby chicks out of the, and I was hurting them, because the struggle made the little chick strong, so that when it got out, it would be okay. Praise God. Our struggles, you know, I mean, here they are. They're struggling in this. And God said she's going to have a child. She went on and had a child. 90 years old. He was 100. Can you just imagine that? Went on and did it, man. And you know, he's asking Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. In your life, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. You know, we got to make sure that we stay in a right spirit all the time. Don't get angry. You know, that's why I turned the media off. You know, the media is just, it's not good these days. It hadn't been for a long time, you know, of covering things, you know, and everything. There ain't but one truth, and that's the Bible. Hallelujah. That Bible don't change. And if me and you don't change, this world and culture, see, media wants to mold you and give you the information they want you to hear. They want you to know. They want you to believe. Hallelujah. You know, a godless society in the media, in most parts of it. Take God out of everything, you know, and all of that. Well, but it boils down, it don't really matter because the culture couldn't mold Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. Hallelujah. Even, you know, here comes Moses to the Red Sea. You know, and I mean, he looks behind and here comes Pharaoh coming after him, you know, in a mountain on this side in the ocean. And here, you know, and God tells him, stretch forth your rod. He stretched forth that rod and the water parted. Hallelujah. You know, and Abraham knew that. So God, in light of that, you know, asking him, is anything too hard for the Lord, for God? Hallelujah. You know, and in my life, you know, I have to, there's challenges that comes all the time to me. I don't think it's just because I'm in business. I think it's just life. It's just different things, you know. But you know what, praise God, I've learned, like Sandy, through the years of trusting the Lord and seeing the Lord work things out, and I've come to realize that there's nothing too hard for God. You know, the challenge is, it's not God. God's never, never let anybody down. I've had people to tell me before, well, you know, I trusted God, but he didn't come through. No, you didn't. You did not trust God. If you heard from God and you stood on the word, and God will come through. You know, like God didn't come through for him. God never fails. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. You know, I mean, he's not weak. He's not weary. His arm is not short that he can't touch and heal. He does. Hallelujah. See, I've got to realize if God can't do for me, it's not God's fault. Because Jesus said it is finished on the cross. And he was talking about everything pertaining to our life. Hallelujah. You know, I go around all the time based on the Bible saying I'm blessed going in. Blessed going. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 8. And he talks about the curse. Lord, and I even say to my out loud, I'm not operating under the curse. I hearken to the voice of the Lord. I hearken. And you know what? When I couldn't hear from the Lord, and I'm still working on hearing from him, being sensitive to him, when I couldn't hear from the Lord, Scripture in the Bible says, his sheep hears his voice. And so I started rehearsing that, saying, Lord, I'm your sheep. I hear your voice. I was doing it by faith. Why? What am I doing? I'm calling those things that be not as though they are. And faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. But you know what? You block God's voice if you believe you can't hear him. Come on, somebody. Listen to me. You block him. If you believe you can't, see, because you hear him because of your faith. Faith is the doorway to your spirit, hallelujah, for him to be able to speak to you and minister to you. You know, just this afternoon, Teresa come in there. It was about 5:30, 5:20, something like that. I mean, church don't start till 7, Mac. It's about 5:20 or so. She comes through there, are you taking a bath tonight? And I'm like, well, what do you think? It's 5:30. You ought to get a bath. You better be getting a bath. And I mean, it tried to get me upset, Mac. I tried to lay down and take a little nap and couldn't go to sleep. Satan trying to flood my mind where I'd be rested up for church and laid there and just, I couldn't go to sleep. It tried to upset me. She don't. This is the first time she knows about it. Why? Because I don't yield to that garbage. I ain't got time for that garbage. I ain't got time to get in a wrong spirit. I don't care if her hair's sticking out this way and pulled back that way and bark at me. I don't really care. Why? Because I realize that the anointing on my life is what's getting my jobs. It's keeping my marriage. Hallelujah. Just keep it. I mean, we're growing spiritually at this church. God's bringing the word. And I mean, it's being imparted into you. You're learning things. I'm learning things. Hallelujah. You know, and just like Sandy said, God's moving. He's doing things for his people, praise God. And the more that we believe nothing's too hard for God. See, it's easy to believe that till you get in the challenge. You know, the challenge tries to get you to believe what you see, believe what you feel, believe what somebody's saying or whatever. Just like they're saying, well, the Dems done won. Well, it ain't over. I'm not going to get in agreement with y'all. But you know what? Even if the Dems do, I planted my seed towards God. You voted towards God. So you done got the seed in the ground. You're not going to get the harvest. You're not going to reap the harvest of a bad seed. You're going to reap the harvest regardless of who's doing what. You're going to reap. I'll tell you, let me give you an example. When the last Democratic got in, after the first 4 years of regulations and all of that, you know, and threatening if I preach anything that offends anybody, I could go to jail. That was coming up. That was, they already took, you know, I mean, they call it being race, whatever you want to call it. You know, and so facing that and then regulations on my business, and I mean, every time I turned around, I'm getting a letter in the mail where they're taxing me on this, taxing me on saws that I've had for 5 years, taxing me. He knows about some of that stuff. It was very discouraging. That was very discouraging. Because it seemed like that I'm having to give 50 cents of every dollar a profit, you know. Just think, work for $600 a week and have to give away 300 of it, you know. And so anyways, and then here comes the economy downfall. Then here comes three months behind on my house, 3 months behind on my trucks. Everything I had, I was behind on. They actually sent me a letter and told me that they was going to put me into foreclosure, you know, and I'm going to have to move out. I'm 3 months behind on every vehicle I have at that time I owed on. And the economy went down. The jobs went, you know, and here I am in it. And I mean, it's trying to mold me. It's trying to keep me awake at night, you know. What am I going to do? Travis lived on the property, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do, man? They're going to have to move. Where are they going to go? I mean, you know, all these things was trying to rise. See, your problems are real. But you know what? After I finally got straightened up and got my thinking straight and got focused in on the Lord, you know what I lost, Mac? Nothing but a garbage dump. Thing stunk anyway. Garbage in it. It's all I put in it every week. That's all I lost. I didn't lose my house, black God. And I've come through that. I kept my eyes on Jesus and on the Word of God, not how I felt, not what the collectors, Bill. Listen, me and Teresa had to go through and take priority stuff. What was priority and pay on it, let the rest of it, we couldn't have it. See, but you know what the struggle was doing? The struggle was causing us to turn closer and look more to the Word and to God. Hallelujah. You know, what am I going to do? Backslide and go live in our truck? Nah. Wasn't going to go have a truck. Go move in with Doris. Good God Almighty. She wouldn't let that happen. Should have went on a fast. I got a fast. Y'all come back tomorrow. I'm going to fast tonight. Lord God. My life was good till y'all lost everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? Got focused in there, and me and Teresa see it. And got, I mean, we got released on the inside. Nothing on the outside had changed. And we're sitting there laughing. We're absolutely laughing with joy. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Bible says, whom the Son, it said, I should have been walking in that the whole time, Johnny. I shouldn't have been oppressed and going to the lawyers and trying to figure out how to work. Don't try to work things out. Hear from the Lord and let Him do the battling. Because nothing's too hard for God. And ever since we passed that major, major trial, I was having to come here and preach this blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed. And I mean, I'm driving to work with no gas, not enough to buy my son a cold drink. You know what? And the devil's talking to me through my thoughts, saying, you're sorry. You ain't a good pastor. You're not a good husband. You're not a good father. You'd go get a job somewhere. And I thought, but Lord put me in this and He ain't told me nothing else. You know? See, when the Lord tells you to go in a certain path, just because that path gets rough, don't mean God's telling you to take another one. You know, because you know, I've noticed, and my pastor told me one time, he said, just hang in there, Brother Scotty, back there was going to church. He said, every time people's doing good in the Lord and they get in a trial, he said the majority of them, he said, they get away from the Lord or quit following the Lord right before their breakthrough. They quit expecting God. God was fixing to move. God was fixing to do something, praise God. Well, you know what? I've not had that kind of financial trial since, bless God. I've not been behind. All my vehicles are paid off, paid in full, got the titles on all of them. Hallelujah. My house is just almost paid off. Hallelujah. What if I'd have quit? What if you quit? See, you know what? I had to go back and say, what if I quit? What if God is fixing to move? What if I quit now and I'll be wondering 10 years down the road, what if I'd have hung on to God? Well, I ain't got to wonder. And you ain't got to wonder. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's anything too hard for the Lord. At the time appointed, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. God said it. Well, now, God said in your life, you're more than a conqueror. Right? More than a conqueror. No matter what you face, you are more than a conqueror. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than... See, Satan tried to get me in a wrong spirit right before church. Why would he do that now? I ain't going to church. I ain't going to church. Y'all come here. Where's Brother Scotty? He got mad because my hair was too long on one side. I said something, hit him the wrong way, I reckon. So he didn't come to church? Boy, y'all would say, what a pastor. Good God, I can't do that, right? Well, y'all can't either. Come on, somebody. Y'all can't do it either. If I can't do it, y'all can't do it. We just going to stay in the right spirit. If we ain't, we're going to get down and pray right before we start church. Hallelujah. We're going to get in the right spirit. When we get to church, we can enjoy it like we are right now. Hallelujah. Why? Because victory's already ours. I mean, if we're victorious, we can have all the devils following us around, chains trying to throw them on us and all that, and just walk right on. And they're like, we can't do nothing with that. We just can't do nothing with that. Every time I throw a trap, God sets it off before they get in it. How many knows he said he'd be our rear guard? He'd watch out for us. He goes before. He done went before us. Bible says he done went before us, praise God. What you got next, Zach? Done forgot. All right, let's have it. And we know that all things work together, even your bad situation you're facing right now. Don't just read that Bible and say, ooh, that's good, that's good. No, apply it. You say glory to God? Well, just like some of them said, pray for my kids. Well, glory to God, he said he worked all things together for the good to them that love God, to those who are called. Did you know you're called according to the purpose of God? You've been called according to his purpose, hallelujah. You know, if you'd asked me 27 years ago where I'd be 27 years, I wouldn't have told you preaching. I wouldn't have told you in the church having a good time. I wouldn't have told you feeding people all over counties around here. I wouldn't have told you all over the world preaching the gospel. I never dreamed it, but I was called according to his purpose. And you're part of my purpose, and I'm a part of your purpose and your success. Hallelujah. You know, because the Bible says that every joint supplies. You're a joint, not a marijuana. But you're a joint, Paul said. He said, every joint supplies. Well, just like you hear it, Mac. I mean, Sandy tells that. That was the Holy Ghost. Had her to tell that. You know, when I tell off on myself, Mac, I don't want to. I usually just don't care to do that. But, you know, I've done learned, you know, through my failures and my mistakes and my success in the Lord, it builds up other people. You know, it's just like Mac. Well, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. And I'm thinking, man, I need that kind of testimony. I need people to say that about me. Well, I got to have it. I got to have some fruit, Mac. If I got the fruit, well, some people want to eat that apple. Hallelujah. But you know what? Sandy didn't bear that fruit. She yielded to the Holy Spirit. And then he begins to bear that fruit that shows on the tree. Hallelujah. You know? Little did she know that she would touch lives. It ministered to me at that time. You know, when you're going to go through battle and you're going to say, Black God, Brother Scott, I've been 3 months behind before. Black God looking to lose everything. Listen, last time he called me about my house, you know, I done got up on it now. I'm done up. I'm out of oppression. I'm willing to do whatever God wants and all of that. And I told that guy, I said, listen, man, I know you just worked there. I said, but you go tell your big boss, I signed them papers and said that I would pay for this house. I said, and tell that bank, y'all are not getting my house. Blink. I hung up on it. I said, sealed in the blood of Jesus. And right then, I said, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Hallelujah. That means the revelation says that you overcome by the blood that's already been shed for you and applied to your life and the word of your testimony. Whatever you're saying out of your mouth, he's done redeemed me from that. Just like I speak over my body, because I know, you know, I'm getting older and all that stuff, and things want to pop and snap and lock and all kind of stuff. And so I get up in the morning and I say, I'm putting WD-40, so to speak, Lord, on the anointing. I thank you, Lord. I had an anointing when I was 20-something, 30-something, 40-something, 50-something. Lord, I've got the anointing for 50. And my joints are clear. Hallelujah. They may not feel like it. I'm telling you what I do, man. I do it, and I'm radical with it. I don't like joints locking up. And I'm not going to have crippling arthritis. And I'm not going to die with a massive heart attack. It's done tried to kill me. Can't kill me. They might have to cut me open, suck some stuff out, shove some new veins, whatever they had to do. But, Black God, I'm the one that got my healing speedily. I'm the one, Black God. Now, you know what? I was on the job the other day, and all of these muscles, the feelings are done back now, you know. And, but the muscles was having to build. Have you ever went and done something you hadn't normally done, and that muscle gets sore, and you realize you had muscle there you didn't know you had? That's what I'm talking about. Them muscles in here, and I could feel it. Still feel it a little bit, you know. They started building up the more I would work and all of that. Well, I was on the job the other day, and I thought, man, I'm getting tired of this. But God, I've been confessing over this, and all of a sudden, I looked up, and the springs needed winding on some garage doors. Travis and him was busy. So, no, I mean, I just hopped up the ladder, you know, and grabbed those bars, and I started winding up. And those springs was big and pretty big. And I mean, they're getting, and I could feel it right in here. And I thought, oh, there's the problem. I hadn't been working it out. I've been confessing on it, but faith without works is dead. I thought I hadn't been working it out. So I'm jumping on all the springs now. Hallelujah. And you know what, praise God, I mean, it's done up to right there, gone. Hallelujah. That's the only ailment I have, period. I don't even know it's been done other than that. Hallelujah. Well, I simply refuse. You, no, let me say this. You simply refuse to lay down in defeat, no matter what comes your way. And God is with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? And he works all things together for your good. Hallelujah. That's the word of God. But you know, when I'm in a situation, most time I feel alone, Mac. I'm like, God, why? God, why? God, why? And then all of a sudden, I'm like, why do I preach at church? I mean, that's the Holy Ghost helping me just like he does you. I know I went through when the storms come through and beat my house up. Y'all done heard all these stories. But I'm telling you right now, it's just like David. He killed the bear with his bare hand. A bear! Have you been to the zoo and seen some of the bears? Man, ain't no way I'd go tackle a bear. Sucker's got hands that big around. Smack you one time, throw you over and maul you, they call it. He killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands. That was supernatural, man. I mean, we're supernatural people. Even them that didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit had the anointing of God on their life and did supernatural things. Those things are super. I was supernaturally delivered at my house. I've never had that challenge again. And you know what? That storm come through, and it's beating my house up and knocking holes, busting my windshields out, and I'm standing on the back porch, and, you know, this couple of years ago, I have a rot gut feeling, just deep down, beating my vehicles up, man. Not beating my house, the roof in on my house and stuff. Big golf ball size hell, you know. And I go in the house, I can't take it no more. So I go in the house. I didn't say nothing, but I go in the house, and I'm like, man, I was believing God, man. I rebuked the storm. I rebuked this storm, and then I start thinking, oh, my God, you know, And y'all know the story. I mean, I'd preached a sermon the Sunday before that, steady in the storm. Well, I didn't know there's a storm coming to my house. All I think is, man, God's equipping us ahead of time. You know, I'm standing there in that living room, and then all of a sudden, you know, my mind, I'm trying to keep my mind. The storms are raging, you know, tearing everything up. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, what did you preach Sunday? And I said, Lord, steady in the storm. Oh, Jesus. Boy, that's a hard saying right in the middle of a storm, Mac. You know? And then all of a sudden, I had to get hold of myself and cast those thoughts out. Hallelujah. And rehearse that scripture right there. I said, I don't know how, God, and it don't make no difference. You said you'll work all things together for the good. I'm looking to the end result of this storm that's going to make me stronger. Hallelujah. And you know what? When that whole storm was over and everything, I paid my vehicles off with the money I had left. I mean, I put a metal roof that I'd been believing for ever since I was able to put a metal roof on my house. But God had money left. I was able to build a pump house that we wanted out there, a little pump house, you know, with a little top on it, make the place look good and all that. I still ain't fixed it right. I had it turned the wrong way, and Teresa wants me to turn it around. But anyhow, that's a good vision. Praise God. And when I got done, I thought, glory to God, Lord, all we got to do, your people, whether it's a storm, natural storm, spiritual storm, family storm, you know, finance, it don't make no difference what the storm is, Lord, whether it's a physical storm, hallelujah, stay steady, standing, trusting, leaning on the Lord, and have it coming out of your mouth, praise God. Well, I went out not too long, you know, after that, and I turned the claims in and all that on my house, and everybody where I went, they was like, man, these insurance companies, they don't never give enough and blah, 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 blah. I mean, they were saying that, you know, and all of a sudden I thought their problem is they got their trust in the insurance company. So immediately I turned my trust to the Lord, hallelujah. I said, Lord, I'm not trusted in the insurance companies. I won't be complaining like them, Lord. Their trust is not in you, so therefore they don't know if they're going to have enough or not. But my trust is in you, and I will have, according to John 10:10, more than enough. And they would tell me, well, when the adjusters got out there, I went and showed them this and this and this. They were trying to make sure that they let the adjusters know every, you know. And so I thought, I'm not doing that either. I'm not going to go with the world, man. So when the adjuster got there, I said, well, here it is, man. There it is. There you go. He goes out and all of that comes down, you know. And he said, Mr. Weston? I said, yes, sir. He said, you know what I'm going to do for you? And I said, no. He said, I'm going to give you $175 a square for your roof. He said, and I believe when I'm done with it, you'll have enough to put you a metal roof on if that's what you want. And I thought, this sucker's right on gear with God. I've been believing for a metal roof for years. Well, and then when he got done saying that, he looks around. He said, hey, is that your shop up there? And I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, let's go up there and measure it off. And I'm like, glory to God. I said, well, man, it ain't leaking or nothing. Nope. Let's go up there. So he goes up there and measured my shop off. And I had a little lean-to on the back, old rusted tin that I'd had for years. And I just put it there to put wood under it. And he gets down. He comes around there and he said, these holes. I said, man, don't count that, man. Don't. That's cool, man. That's just an old, you know. Are you sure, Mr. Weston? I mean, he's trying to push me now. He's trying to push me to bless. That wasn't him. That was the anointing. I mean, he'd have went on and seen if he was going to leave and knocked off. He had an anointing on him. Might have had to stop him. Hallelujah. Couldn't happen. And old Travis, he out there first, he's like, there's a dent here and a dent here. And Dad, there's a dent here. I said, just don't do that. I said, just don't do that. I said, don't show him nothing. Just believe God. I said, but you can. You do what you want to. Now I'm trying to teach Travis. And I imagine it might have been hard for him. They want to know every little dent in it, man. You're going to get all the, you know. He didn't do it. And you know what, praise God? He had money left after it was all said and done. Whole metal top on his house, everything, praise God, and had money left. Money left. We both ended up with money. That's this. That's that for you. Praise God. Go on. Give me that. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. Go ahead. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Don't run from evil. Go ahead. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Go ahead. Did you write the right thing down? That's not what I want. About 37.3. Sounds good, but that ain't it. There we go. That's more like it. It says, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all things. That's why I go about and I say, Lord, you said, Lord, if I would honor you, everything I touch will be blessed. You will bless the works of my hands, hallelujah. God just told me the other day, no, today. He told me, he said, you're higher than these other guys, but I like you. He even tried to rip me off. You can't rip me off. Nah, that stuff don't work now. So I went on, I told the dude, I said, listen, man. He said, you're going to be $300 higher than this other guy. I said, that's right. I said, that's right. I said, you've added some stuff and blah, blah, blah. I said, look, buddy, I said, I'm not going to do this stuff and you keep adding on. And I want your business. And if I'm way too high, let me know. And I'll call the company and see if they'll come down on the door. But I ain't coming down. Ain't you afraid you won't get the job? No, my source ain't the job. The Lord is my source. The Lord is your source. He's your supply. He's your healer. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to doctors. I mean, there's nothing wrong. God anoints doctors. But don't just put your trust in the doctor alone. You know, because the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. A doctor is a man. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. If I'm going to the doctor, I tell the Lord, Lord, thank you that your anointing will be on this man. Lord, he will have wisdom that comes from you to figure out what needs fixed in me, Lord. I'm not putting my trust in him. I went to the doctor one time back, and he said, what's your symptoms? And I told him what my symptoms was. He said, hold on just a minute. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get the book out. I said, what book? I said, what book? He said, well, I'm going to go look up your symptoms and see what I need to give you. I said, really? Well, hurry back. He goes in there, goes down my symptoms, come back and told me what he thought I had and give me medicine based on that. I learned right then, you know, this man don't know what's wrong with me. This man knows the symptoms. He's went to school And, you know, and he's got to go to the book, and they've studied. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, they, you know, I'd rather him do that and say, I think you've got a mole or something. Let me give you this to cure it. That's better than that. But I realized when I left there, I realized they're only men. They're men. They don't know. But you know, Lord, you created. Just look how awesome our God is. Man, there's veins runs through every part of our being. I mean, you know, my heart, that the one main artery collapsed, you know, and everything, and had to go back in. You know, but that doctor, he said, you know, it'll reroute. He said, we've seen it reroute new veins. How amazing is our God? This side of my neck was completely 100% stopped up. They couldn't do nothing with it. But you know what he said? He said, there's blood done rerouted to that side. Other than that, ain't God amazing? They didn't know man going there and say, oh, well, here, let's run a little tube from this side over here. No, our God's amazing. See, he created our bodies. I mean, just think about it. I mean, how we function. Ain't we amazing? We can think. I mean, I think. Go to the house. My body goes down there and gets in the car and drives. Your body ain't telling you what to do. Your brain is, man. Your head, praise God, hallelujah. Ain't that amazing? We're unique beings, and we have the ability to think like God thinks. To believe that nothing's impossible. Did you know that Mark 9:23 says all things are possible to those that believe? All things are possible to those that believe. It's possible to be healed. It's possible to be double blessed. It's possible to get 2 or 3 raises a year in the middle of a pandemic. Johnny walking around, woo! Last race, I wasn't even believing, I didn't really need a raise. It ain't about what we need, it's about God. It's about God honors till we come to the place where nothing is broken, nothing is missing. If I was in this place and I wanted a house, you know, I wouldn't look out here and say, well, I got a job, ain't paying much, I can't have a house, I can't afford a house. I wouldn't do that, but God, I couldn't afford a house and believed God for 10 years and rode every back road around Blount County toward the neck, the Hansville area, because that's where I went to church. I wasn't moving far from church back. They could have been houses over there 40 miles away, and I ain't getting them. I don't care how good they are. I'm staying over in this neck of the woods. This is where God's got me. I was driving to church in Hansville. So I wasn't going to move far from my church. Hallelujah, you know. But you know what? I mean, year after year, I really got on Teresa's nerves. She finally quit riding with me. But you know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't quit dreaming. Black God, long as you dream, God can work. You know, you got to have a dream of being healed and believing God and apply the scriptures, hallelujah, where that you can see the glory of God. The psalmist David said it. He said, I would have fainted lest I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I've been in many trials, Mac, where all I had was just this belief that somehow God was going to bring me out. He was going to do it somehow. I just had to hang on. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, if hanging on is all you got, that's good enough. Just hang on. Now, people around you, I was looking at people one time, you know, and I didn't know it was in the scripture. I was looking, and people that serve the Lord seem like they're broke all the time, man, just nothing, you know, and weak and all that. And people that didn't serve the Lord, they just happy. And I mean, they're just going about. And I was reading the book of Psalms. I mean, it was a good thing to read the Bible. I was reading the book of Psalms, and it says, envy not the sinner when he prospers in his way, for surely he shall be cut off. And then I was reading on, and it says, and the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can't measure your success by people. He said, I have a process that I'm doing in your life to where I'm building you up as I carry you up. Give you a little example. I'm going to close with this. I'm there dreaming, Mac, and I'm telling the Lord one night, I said, oh, Lord, let me have $1 million. God, $1 million. I'm laying there in the bed. I'll pay Mama's house off, and I'll build Mama a new house, and I'll pay my sister's house. I'm telling the Lord I'll do all of this and all of that, you know. I did it every night, Mac, and I'm thinking, surely the million will come because that's doing good. Well, it didn't come, it didn't come, it didn't come, and I'd tell the Lord, and it didn't come, it didn't come. One night I said that, and I got quiet, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I don't want you to pay your sister's house off. I don't want you to build your mama a new house. See, I'm having all these dreams and not His will. All these dreams are not the will of God that I'm having. I just want to do good. I want to be a blessing. Nothing wrong with that. But God began to show me. He said, see, He said, I've got to build you where you will yield to me, not what you think to bless people. Because you know what? Some people, God don't want you to bail out. God wants you to leave them alone, let them ride that ride till it comes to a crash, and then let them look back and say, let's go that way. Hallelujah. But you know what? There's nothing too hard for God. It's just like I believe here in the near future, God's going to bring people in. He's going to bring people into the kingdom of God. They're going to get born again. They're going to start having a desire to go to the house of the Lord, and all of us that have been an influence, guess where they're going? They're going to come want to come see us. They're going to want to come see us. I was telling Shannon, I said, my brother, give us a baptistry. It's a real one. I told him, I said, used to have one up here. I said, I never did tell nobody what it was. I said, we didn't have the money to get a baptistry. We had one right there with that carpet tonight. And I said, so I come up with this idea. I said, so I went to Walker Brothers up there and asked them if they had any beat up, stand up showers. And they said, yeah, we got one around. What you want for it? I said, I'm going to put a baptistry in my church. He said, oh, yeah. He said, it's normally about $500. He said, let you have for $100. That's what we put up here. Had a lay down shower, stand up shower. Laid down, praise God. Hot water heater back there, you know. But you know what? Somebody called me the other day, my brother. He said, I got a baptistry. All I got to do is go up there and get it for one. It's about a $6,000 real one that you walk down in, got its own heater and all that. And I was thinking, oh, man, I don't know if I want to go through all that or not. And I thought, hey, man, it sure is nice when you ain't got to go that cold river, because these people fixing to come in and get saved and all that, they going to want to be baptized, and we going to have to shiver. But if we got that baptistry hooked up and going, praise God, well, that's just dreaming ahead. God is wanting us to get ready for the move of God that He's going to bring. That's why He's stirring us in the Word. But that's why Satan's got it turned on. Have you noticed Satan's got it turned on most of the time in your life? I mean, you know, if you think you're going to go forward and get closer to the Lord and get freer and freer without Him putting up a fight, it's not going to happen. That's why the Bible says that we're to fight the good fight of faith. So I want to encourage you, praise God. Don't limit God in your situation. Don't think that God is not big enough to move no matter how bad the situation is, praise God. And it opens the door for God to move. Let's bow our heads. Father, we